Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issue is the name of the show. Thanks for listening. I'm Tim with Wesley Wildman and Ray Pritchard, raised in Kansas City. We're in Tupelo, and in Tupelo with us is our good friend Steve Jordahl. Good morning.
Good morning, everybody.
Steve Paisley
Jordahl. Yeah, I was going to have to catch you. That was close.
Give Steve his formal introduction.
That's right. Absolutely. That's right. It's not the show unless I'm... Did you guys end up getting the correct URL for the In His Image movie?
We got it.
You did?
Finally got it, yes. And we got it in both that link and the YouTube. Okay.
Did you hear what we were talking about?
I did, but I left before you guys found it. Okay. In his image.movie.
I want to continue on this for just a moment because I remembered an example that Ed Battagliano uses, original with him as far as I know, that is a good way to explain this. We were talking, folks, about a news story yesterday that this gender dysphoria, this confusion among children about whether they're a boy or a girl, is sweeping the country, and it's terrible, and it's happening. A lot of you listening right now, you know families that are dealing with this, and I had a family member last night, not an immediate family member of mine, contact me and say, how can I help this person? I have a friend, they have their daughter's doing this, they're saying she's a boy. How can I help her? So how can I help her? She's brokenhearted. And so, but we were talking about the fact that a lot of people are pushing this. They just flat deny reality. Okay. If you want to talk about this issue, and as I said, if you want to say this is a male who feels like they're a girl, that's, as Ray said, that's scientifically accurate, right, Ray?
That's just a statement of reality.
Okay, that's a statement of reality.
A feeling.
Yeah, but don't tell me that a girl is a boy because they feel like they are. That is not scientific. That is not true. That is, you're basing on feelings. And here's the way Ed describes it on this. Ed said, we should no more accept that than we do accept anorexia. And here's what he says. We don't tell, especially a young lady who's 5'6", 75 pounds, and she says she's fat, we don't affirm her. We don't say, you know what? You're right. If you feel like you're fat, you're fat. And no, we say, you know what? That's not reality. You're not fat. In fact, you're skin and bones, and we're going to have to change this behavior or you're going to get sick and potentially die.
And at some point in there, we go, hey, your feeling is not matching reality. We're saying that you've been deceived here, here's where you've been tricked, or this is what you need to avoid. You know.
So we don't tell people who are experiencing anorexia, we don't clap our hands and affirm them who say that they're fat and they're overeating. No, we tell them the truth. Mm-hmm. Okay, we stand on the truth. So that's scientific. That is the truth. These people who say I believe in science and then they want to call a girl a boy because a girl says I feel like it today. Right. Well, you may feel differently tomorrow. Okay.
Yes.
You may feel differently tomorrow. You may swap back. That doesn't mean you were a girl.
Right.
Okay. So it's just this idea that we have to talk about things as if they aren't, or things as if, you know what I'm saying?
I know.
That's bizarro.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Steve.
The whole issue is that the people have made a division. The woke people left has made a division between sex and gender. They've created a whole new category. This is just a new belief system. It's not, there's no science to it. It's just, we're going to say that gender is fluid. And the increases, every state in the union except for South Dakota has had increases, most of them in triple digits.
You're citing the news story that we're basing this conversation
on. Right.
Did we post that? So at our Facebook page, our Today's Issues Facebook
page. It's not Facebook page.
Right.
No. Don't say Facebook. It's Facebook page.
Our Today's Issues Facebook page we posted this story that we're talking about.
So the fact that this has risen in the last 5 years, like to this extent, means that it is socially conditioned. Two things. It's socially conditioned. People weren't dysphoric 10 years ago. Now all of a sudden everybody is. So it's not like you're born all of a sudden. We're breeding different kinds of people with, you know, we're the same DNA as always has been.
Sure.
So it's socially constructed. And then there's also a spiritual element. I believe firmly that there's a demonic, Satan is called the prince of the power of the air, and he has influence over this world, and he has influence of people in this world. And the fact that we're seeing an explosion in something that's so anti-God, that's so affronting to the nature of God, tells me that this is a spiritual problem as well.
Absolutely.
And is this so, Ray?
Well, look, everything you said, Steve, 100% true. Satan is the god of this world. He's the god of the air. There's evil let loose. And I think this, I don't know how many times we come back to Romans 1, but it does seem like almost every week we're talking about Romans 1. This is what happens when a society turns away from God. In the end, it's not just a descent into immorality. It's a descent into madness, a descent into irrationality, a descent into the denial of basic reality itself. Friends, that's where we are today.
Yeah. All right, Steve, next topic.
All right. Well, we keep talking. The Democrats have said and made a big deal about the overturn of Roe v. Wade and said they're going to run on this. In 2024, it's abortion all the way. We are the pro-abortion party. I saw four or five different posts from Joe Biden this morning on my Twitter feed saying, look, this is Donald Trump. He's the one that you got to blame for overturning Roe versus Wade. You know, my body, my choice. So they are making a big deal about this. But do you know what the American people are concerned about? According to a Harvard-Harris poll, 35% of responders list immigration as their paramount concern. 32% think inflation is. Those have just recently switched places
in that order.
In that order.
Okay.
35 immigration, 32% inflation, and then down the line
you're talking about the general public, the general American public, as they list issues that they're on their minds as they get ready
what's
to vote.
What's their top concern
or what now?
First is immigration, second is inflation, third is economy and jobs, fourth is crime and drugs and health care. That might be healthcare, could be abortion. 16% the national security deficit. 14% response to corruption and the environment were named.
Okay. Well, that's interesting that
abortion's not on the list.
That immigration has moved ahead of inflation, right? Is that what you're saying?
Immigration has moved ahead of inflation.
I mean, that sounds like a survey sponsored by the Republican Party.
I know, right?
If, talk about teeing it up.
Yeah.
If there's, we're living in a moment when, quote, conservative issues are on the minds of people. So if I was Mr. Trump, I'd go down there and have a couple of huge rallies right there on the border and say, elect me. And we're going to secure the border again. These are the top three or four you mentioned, Steve. These are ready made for a Republican candidate.
I'm on the record saying this, and I'll stand by this. I said this on Walker's program.
Are you going to stand by it?
Stand right beside. Okay. I'm going to stay on top of it.
Okay, you stay on top of it.
I stated this on the core on Walker Wildman's radio program on AFR.
Name dropper.
Two or three weeks ago. And that's this. President Biden has several things that go 180 degree difference in his worldview and his agenda and what he's been able to accomplish while he's been in the White House. But by far, the number one thing that's the by far the worst thing that he will be remembered for when this is all said and done, meaning when he's, whether he's elected again and he serves four more years or not, whenever he's out of the White House, you'll look back and the number one thing that he's done, worst thing that he's done, is the border. The border meaning
decimating the
border. Decimating the border. Showing absolutely, he's not. You hear the, you've seen the, you know the analogy where someone's down there, I'm working on it,
right,
and then
right.
they're not. But oh, we're trying, but we're not. No, he's not even pretending to try.
Right.
And Republicans are impeaching his director, Mayorkas, of Homeland Security,
and deservedly so
over this issue.
Yeah, and a couple things along those lines as a. Millions of people, I don't know how many, what the number is now, millions of people now have flooded into our country illegally. We don't know who they are. But they're here now, and Biden has bussed them and got them, put them on airplanes, and they've just gone all over the country. Now people say, well, so the Republican governors have put them on buses. Well, the Republican governors, Texas in particular, Arizona, before they changed Republican and Democrat, but they were, the people weren't being held at gunpoint. They were getting on the buses, going to New York City and Chicago and other places because they wanted to go there, because either they had family there or they knew that those big cities would take care of them because they have to by law. So that was the reasons they were going to these big cities. But now even John Fetterman, the senator from Pennsylvania, who is a Democrat.
Yep.
He's making a big issue of this. Surprisingly, I didn't know, but he's making a big issue of this too. Democrat mayors are. So, and you know, it's feeding down to the grassroots because a lot of people who are Democrats are seeing the real life results of letting people just flood into our country without any control whatsoever. And they don't, it's disrupting their lives and their communities. I read the other day where the Denver hospital is overrun. They're overrun because they've got too many people here illegally that they're having to take care of in the emergency rooms and things of that nature.
And it was in New York where they're telling kids for a couple of days, maybe a week, you can't go to school because we're having to use your school. Mm-hmm. Public. That is, I have to look. I think that was public school.
Yeah.
They were using public schools for hosting.
Yeah. So the point is, this is going to be a big issue.
There you go.
In the upcoming elections in November, Republicans or Democrats. I wonder if the Democrats, like Fetterman, will begin to change their open borders policy.
Well, they have to, at least they should. Well, I'm not going to give them election advice, but just keep on going down the abortion road. Let's see how far that gets you.
Sure.
I think that was a hot topic. In the midterm elections.
I think it did. It affected 2022.
Yeah, and the Democrats have a way of framing that issue that gets them a lot of votes, the abortion issue. But I think as time goes on here, that's going to fade.
Sure.
As this survey is showing as a top issue for...
And the reason is it's going back to the states.
Right.
And so
it's not a federal issue any longer. It's a state issue. So, and that's what Roe versus Wade, the overturning of Roe versus Wade did, is sent the issue of abortion regulation back to the states. So,
yeah, they're going to,
the Democrats just want to scare people. Like, they just want to scare people to say, if you vote Republicans in, you know, they're going to, it's Handmaid's Tale. They're going to take away every right. They're gonna make sure birth control is illegal. I mean, they just try to scare the mess out of people on that issue. But I don't think it's gonna work.
I don't think so either.
Everything that they do is about division or fear.
Yeah.
Think about any policy you want, whether it's the global warming and the electric cars. You're gonna make you buy an electric car, and the system or electrical system can't handle it. Any policy you want, the whole woke is nothing but playing on people's fear and dividing them.
Next story.
All right. We've been talking to Dean Michelle Bachman, Dean of at Regent University, and she has been warning the world about the WHO, which some people refer to as the WHO, but then I'm always thinking about the rock band when they say that.
But we're talking about the World Health
Organization. World Health Organization. And they have decided that they want to coordinate international responses to a pandemic. Now, they're not sure. They're now talking about a pandemic. They're calling it Disease X, as yet unknown Disease X. And they say that this Disease X could be 20 times deadlier than COVID. So they don't know what it is, but all of a sudden it's 20 times deadlier. And they're saying every nation has to sign on to this treaty so that we can coordinate your response. The WHO is saying we will shut your economy down. We will tell you you have to wear masks. We will do this because we are going to stop this from becoming a worldwide pandemic. And
too soon.
This has come up again because the movers and shakers of the world just met at Davos, the World Economic Forum, and this was a big topic of conversation there. There's some calendar dates that they want to hit. They want to get there's a May deadline for people to sign up for this for whatever reason, and they're pushing this hard. We have an administration who's likely to buy into it.
Well, we've seen we know the story of the boy that cried wolf, and we know how that goes. If they try to pull a pandemic, shut the economy down, wear masks, get in line for vaccines, mandate, or you're fired. And most of the firing was done in government jobs, but there were some in public jobs. But if you start down the route that we did, the lockdowns and the shutdowns for 2020, 2021, and even carried over in some places to 2022, vaccine mandates, if that's the route that they're going to take, they should have waited about 10 years to try it again, because the people in this country that lived through that, they're not
going to do it again.
They're not going to do it again. And I'm talking about a majority of people by far. I'm not talking about party lines here.
I agree with you. If it's a COVID-like thing.
Yeah, COVID-like.
I don't know if they're – Ray, you can comment here, but I don't trust the World Health Organization. And I don't – they nope. covered they, no. co- they covered for China on COVID.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We know that. That was – they were basically out in the open with that. So I don't – their credibility is pretty well shot.
That's right.
Quite frankly, just like the CDC's is.
Isn't it coincidental they want to do this in a national campaign year, an election year?
That's a good point.
Now, the World Health Organization is saying there is that sometime in the future, I don't know when it is, there will be a pandemic that will be worse than COVID. This is what they're saying, right? And okay, let's take the politics out of it and then their worldview out of it. Sure. Okay, let's just take their word. Let's just assume that they're honest brokers.
Okay,
okay. What they're saying is that they want the world to be ready for this, and the way we can be ready for it is if everybody's in agreement on the regulations, the stipulations, the rules to impose on their own people. Should this pandemic hit? Is that what you're saying?
That's not it. The treaty says that the CDC or the WHO, I'm sorry, the WHO is who is driving that bus. It's not that the WHO
asking every country to sign on to relinquishing their sovereignty. To the WHO in the name of stopping this.
That's what they're doing.
Disease that's yet to happen, right? That's what
global control, right? Global control of the response to. Disease X.
Yeah, well, the answer to that is big fat no.
No.
No, that's not happening.
And I'm not fat shaming.
Okay. No, that's not happening.
Just an expression.
You big, say that.
A big fat no. Yeah. No, Steve, we don't receive that.
All right. I do not receive that from you.
We're charismatic. We're not receiving that at all.
Right. Okay. So an Obama judge, her name is Wendy Beadlestone of the Eastern District of Pennsylvania, has ruled that CRT training at some colleges and universities can violate federal law. A professor
What's CRT training for those who don't know?
CRT is critical race theory, which says is this the whole worldview where everything?
It's I'll just synopsize worldview for you.
Yes,
white man evil.
Yeah, there you go.
That's their mission statement.
CRT equals white man evil.
Yes, it's all the woke stuff that you want.
Well, and, white women too, I guess.
Well, really a white professor sued a college in Pennsylvania saying he was traumatized by this when he was told that white teachers are the problem. When he was told that the white staff needed to hold their breath longer than people of color to feel the pain that George Floyd endured.
This is in an exercise. This is nauseating stuff.
All employees calling on white people to feel
terrible. Where is
this? This is Pennsylvania College. Penn State Abington.
Penn State University system?
Well, yes, Penn State system. And this judge has ruled, you know, there may be a place for learning about CRT. There's a place for diversity. This is an Obama-appointed judge. But she says it depends on the context. If you're telling people that they are inherently bad because of their color, that's against the federal law.
Hey, good for her.
Yeah.
Good for that Obama-appointed judge.
Yeah.
Let the record show.
That's right.
That's right.
We just applauded a... Don't say we're not bipartisan here.
That's right. We are
very
bipartisan.
It's called common ground.
We just applauded.
Common ground. That's right.
There's areas of common ground.
That's right, brother.
Now,
all right. So, go ahead. Did you have something else?
Yeah.
Okay.
One person who has lived a terribly oppressed life knows the sting of racism is Nikki Haley, the Republican presidential candidate. She has been through the ringer, and she knows all about racism, and she's going to tell you about it. This is Cut 9.
If you want to know what it was like growing up, I was disqualified from a beauty pageant because I wasn't white or black, because they didn't know where to put me. So look, I know the hardships, the pain that come with racism.
Yeah.
I don't know what...
Her parents came to here from India, right?
Yes.
So she's brown, sort of, in her skin color, skin tone.
Not very, though.
That's not what you think about when you look at it.
That was kind of a weird. So she's saying that she had a beauty pageant. So they didn't know where to put her.
Yeah.
She wasn't white. She wasn't completely white. She wasn't completely black.
Beauty pageants today, they don't segregate.
Yeah, I'm not sure what she was talking
about. But now back in that, I don't know, how old is she?
50-something.
She's... I don't know. They may have been something like that back then. I know when I was growing up.
That was her number one evidence of racism.
Yeah,
that's a real reach. But I don't. Maybe it happened to her. I don't know. That would be unfortunate if it did.
Probably did, but still.
Yeah, but that's a pretty weak example of.
She's 52 years old.
Suffering from racism. She's 52. Mm-hmm. Okay, I do remember. You know, and I'm 60. And when I was in high school, this would have been in the late 70s and 80s, I think I remember we had a white homecoming queen and we had a black homecoming queen for football. You know what I'm saying? There was still some, quote, segregation.
Well.
But it wasn't, what I'm thinking about, when she's describing right there, they didn't know where to put me in the beauty pageant. They may have segregated at that time. I don't know. They may have said, okay, we have blacks and we have...
Well, when it comes to the evils of racism, there's lynchings, there's you can't eat at this lunch counter.
I know.
And there's beauty pageants.
And beauty pageants. But we don't do that anymore. You know, we don't... America doesn't do that anymore. We don't have segregated...
She thinks she's going to try to get a few more votes that way.
Yeah.
It's not going to work.
Not going to happen. I don't think. All right. Well, listen, thank you for joining us today, ladies and gentlemen. Whatever ethnicity, color, you may be, background, you may be. We thank you for listening to the program, Today's Issue. So, on behalf of Five White Guys, we bid you a good afternoon, and we'll see you tomorrow.